We pray. Merciful Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this day, for you have a grace and a blessing for us. Be with us, dear Lord. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to believe all that you have penned, that we might be strengthened and stayed by the power of your holy word until the very end. In Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, we pray. Amen. I have a prediction. I predict that within the next 10 years, life is going to be very, very hard for people who do not have a good education and good skills. After the Second World War, if someone didn't do so well in high school with their education, they could pretty much fall back with certainty and know that through the factories and the assembly lines of Detroit and Chicago, they'd be able to find a job that they could support their family and have a decent living on. After all, America then was a powerhouse of manufacturing to a bombed-out world. But that's not the case today. No? Germany and Japan and China and India have been come roaring back with all kinds of well-educated, highly skilled individuals, and they pay them a fraction of what American workers get. To add to the mayhem, we're entering a whole new generation of robots who will soon be taking those jobs at McDonald's and Burger King. And so I predict for those who have very poor education and no skills, it'll be virtually impossible for them to be able to raise a family and fund all the needs. Can you imagine what it would be like for you? Can you feel that pain? Imagine for a minute that you just graduated from high school 5 years ago. You have two small kids, both hungry and sick, and you have neither a job nor any money to pay for them. Oh, would the tears flow, huh? But which would be the most bitter of the tears? Seeing your children suffering so, or realizing that you did it to yourself by trying to believe so many years ago that I know all I need. I don't need to work in high school. I don't need an education. I know all I need. Really? Well, you and I might still be crying those tears. When a day of disaster comes, if by chance for years and years we've been pushing the Lord away, saying, I know all I need to know about this God stuff. I don't need to know. And then the day of disaster comes. And then we're looking for our Lord to hold our life together. But we won't know anything about him. What will that day be like? What do you want for your life? What do you insist for your life? Do you insist from the very core of your being, I need to know more? Or, I know all I need. You know, when people fail to get an education, that creates a hungry stomach. An empty head creates a hungry stomach. An empty soul creates a very dark life, filled with pain and anguish. Solomon cries out to his students, do not rebuke a mocker or they will hate you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Well, there are many people in this world who don't believe at all in the one true God. They have no faith. They have no room for God's word in their heart, and they certainly have no interest in studying the Bible. when God's word comes into our conversations and into our life. Oh, many of these unbelievers are very quick to mock. Oh, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? Anyone with two brain cells knows that the Bible is one big fairy tale. Well, that's nothing new. Throughout the world, unbelievers have always mocked God, His Word, and anyone who would bring His Word to them. Mockers suffer hell because they push God and block God out of their hearts, out of their lives, and out of their eternity. What is shocking, however, is when those who claim to be the very children of God seem to want such little to do with God. It seems like they have the mindset, what's the least I need to know in order to get home to heaven? And that's kind of good enough. Even amongst confessing Christians, the whole idea of attending church every week, reading my Bible in my house, or plugging into a Bible class, that just seems so strange and foreign. Really? What are they asking me to do? It almost seems as though we're out there hunting for mushrooms in the forest. Or someone has tried to encourage us to grow a bonsai tree in our home. Or were they asking to be taking ballet lessons of some sort? Well, yeah, are there people who do that sort of stuff? Sure, but that's not us. We're not like that. Does the idea of Bible study interest you about as much as knitting a sweater? Perhaps then we really are in the camp that insist, I know all I need to know. Let's think a minute about what this is all about. God, who He is, and what He's done. We start out with the basics. God created everything. Doesn't it say a lot about just how smart God is? Smarter than anyone in this room? Smarter than all of us together? God preserves everything. He keeps everything spinning and going. Why, it's by His power alone that we're able to take our very next breath. Doesn't that say a lot about how He understands every molecule of our makeup? Every complexity of our problems? Every solution that would really be a blessing to us? He's so far ahead of us and anything we need. How about that truth that God has created us for the sole purpose of pouring out His love upon us? Doesn't that speak volumes as to what He has in store for us? Where His plans and His leading are taking us? Wow. But you know, God does this very strange thing. His most important and powerful blessings He delivers to us through His Word. Who would have guessed? In such simple paper wrapper of His Word, He unleashes His powerful blessings. But you know, we often do a very, very strange thing also. We often are found playing the role of the mockers, those who are unaware, unthinking, uncaring of all the blessings that God has from page to page in His holy word. Absolutely clueless. And boy, do we pay the penalty for that. Do we really want to learn as little as possible about our Lord and Savior, or do we want to learn as much as possible? We're not picking mushrooms here. We're picking up diamonds. Diamonds of His grace. We may have to stop for a minute and admit that we've been lazy when it comes to God and His Word. Or perhaps we have to acknowledge that, well, we didn't come from families who really studied God's word, took it as something important in our lives. Or maybe we really have to admit we're kind of afraid of God's word. It's powerful, and we're not sure how it's going to change us and push us and pull us and what it might change us into. But listen carefully to Solomon's warning. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Suffer we do not want to do. It is a deep and dark sin to despise the word of God, for in doing that, we despise God himself. And so we may need to repent of our cold indifference to God, his word, his worship. Solomon says on the opposite side of the coin, rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. Solomon uses three very important words there. Rebuke, instruct, teach. And there's a consequence, something that comes out of all this teaching and instructing. They will love the word. They will be wiser still. They'll add to their learning. Our lives have been changed. Ever since we heard that news of how Satan used evil men to crucify the Lord of glory. It's an eternal change that has come into our hearts and lives when we hear about how God the Father raised him from the dead, and in doing so has promised that he will raise you and me from the dead also. God has revealed a holy mystery from on high of how Jesus stepped in to take our punishment in our place, our substitute. And this revelation has changed us, has created a whole new person inside called the child of God. Are we not excited to see all the other new mysteries that God has to reveal on the pages of sacred scripture? Those mysteries that will blow our mind and, yes, transform our lives. Are we in need of a transformation? Those who are foolish have no fear of the Lord. They are their own gods unto themselves. They puff up their chest and say, I need all I know all I need. The wise, however, stand in fear of the Lord, both fear born of the law and fear born of the gospel. It is a fearful thing to stand in the judgment of the Lord God Almighty. On the other hand, to ponder God and his enormous love melts us to the core. It goes deeper into us than anything else in this world. To think of how Jesus suffered on our behalf because he would not let us burn forever in hell. That produces in us a deep and profound gratitude that he saved us when nothing else could be saved, nothing else could save us. When we meditate on how many times we have pushed him away and pushed him away, being cold-hearted and stiff-necked, and yet he has come after us over and over again to forgive us and give us peace, to forgive us and lift us up, to forgive us and put us back on the path that leads to paradise. What a persistent love he has for us. And that creates holy fear in our hearts for him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The more we know about God, the more we know about our world. ourselves, our problems, our future. The more we learn about God, the more we're filled with love and peace and hope and wisdom, all those things everyone searches for. That is the light of God dwelling in our heart of hearts. Notice the changes in our scripture lessons. Paul gave Philemon a different and a wiser way of handling his runaway slave, Onesimus. No one would have stopped Philemon had he beaten Onesimus, even beaten him to death, for that was the punishment for runaway slaves. But Paul asked Philemon to treat Onesimus with love, as a brother in the Lord. Who would have thought of such a thing? How many things in our life could change and be different if we apply the word of God? Jesus tells us what it means to be a disciple. Not just casually sitting around the campfire of a church service and plugging in every now and again. That doesn't take care of it. There are no part-time disciples. We're all in or we're all out. Faith is a living trust in the one who has saved us. Faith trusts every word that comes from the mouth of God because it comes from the mouth of God. Faith insists on learning more and more. Faith makes our body ache to hear our Savior's voice. How we yearn to hear over and over again that our Savior still blesses us. His face is still turned toward us and not away from us. That His peace still rests on us. Oh, that's what helps us breathe for another week. Our faith can never have too much of Jesus or follow too closely to Jesus. The closer, the better. Another prediction. I predict in 10 years, there will be much more open, public persecution of Christians right here in America. Life is going to be very hard for Christians. I pray that I'm wrong in this prediction. But whatever comes in the future, will you be ready for it? The seeds you plant today will bear fruit tomorrow. Whether that's the fruit of ignorance or whether that's the fruit of knowledge. Will you insist today to be readers of your Bible for yourself? Will you insist on attending every service, that worship service that is physically possible for you to attend? Will you insist on plugging into a Bible study because it is good for our souls? Or will you leave that for someone else to do? Do you insist? I need to know more. Or, I know all I need. God bless you as you knit God's word into the fabric of your being. You will be forever blessed. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, gracious God, what you accomplish through your holy word. Through your word, the world was created. Through your word, you sent your Savior. Through your word, you created us anew to be believers, disciples of the Lord. And by your word, you will call us home to heaven. Be with us, and may we feast on your life-giving word now and all the days of our life. For in you, we have our being. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.